book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2. Amen. 2 Kings, chapter number 2. Wonderful service tonight. Wonderful Spirit of God we felt.
Yes.
Amen. Sure would like to help someone here.
Yes.
Burden out of my heart. Amen. Well, let's go up to verse 19, 2 and 19. And the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth. But the water is naught, and the ground is barren." Amen. The waters got polluted here, so polluted that the ground was being affected. You can water ground with good water, and your garden will grow. But if you water it with polluted water, it'll sour the ground, and your crops won't even grow. Amen.
Right.
And he said, "Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein." They brought it to him. He went forth unto the spring of the waters, cast the salt in there, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, and there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." The rest of these verses doesn't go with my message tonight, but I do want to read them. So the waters were healed unto the day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said to him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. You know, even children can be cursed if they don't respect the man of God. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tear 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. I just read those last few verses just to let you know that. Amen. That's not my message tonight. But it's very important, amen, to reverence and respect God's man.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Elisha just performed a miracle of God, and he went on down, and those kids come out mocking, making fun of the man of God. He cursed him in the name of the Lord, and 42 kids were devoured by two she bears. Amen. I tell you, it's very important to esteem God and God's people. Amen.
Yes.
And some adults need to pay attention to that too. Amen. You can curse yourself if you don't watch out when you come against the man of God. Amen. And all right, verse number 21, my message tonight. And it went forth into the spring of the waters, and he cast the salt in there, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, and there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." Hallelujah. Great God, if the Lord will help me tonight, I'd like to preach on making bitter water sweet.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Making bitter water sweet. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm trying to be very careful tonight. This is a rather different message than what I usually preach. And I'd like to start off tonight just saying that I would probably be safe to say that everybody sitting in this house tonight at one time or another has been hurt. You know, I could prophesy, "You've been hurt in here." And everybody, even young ones, could raise a hand and say, "I've been hurt." But, you know, you're going to get hurt in the world. You're going to get hurt in life. But probably most of us could even raise a hand and say, "I've been hurt in church." It just happens. And I wish it didn't. It just does. People say things they ought not say. People spurt out their mouth when they should keep their mouth quiet. Amen. Things happen in church that ought not happen. Glory to God. And I believe it would be safe to say that everybody in here tonight could testify to the fact and say, "I've been hurt." Amen. I've even been hurt in church. Hallelujah. The great prophet Elijah had just been escorted to the presence of God in a fiery chariot. Elisha returned across the Jordan alone, and he was met by some men from a nearby Jericho who told him about the water. Amen. Told him about the stream had become poisoned somehow. It's killing everything, great God, that should be growing. Elisha said, "Bring me a cruse, if you will, Elisha had asked them, Brother George, and they brought to a man of God a cruise, and he said, put some salt in. Hallelujah. And they filled it full of salt. Great God. And Elisha sprinkled that salt into the waters, that spring of waters, the Bible said. And bitter waters became sweet. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, there's nothing more counterproductive to the human spirit than bitterness. Amen. I said this over and over, and I tell you what, you can see folks, once they get bitter, I tell you what, they're hard to win.
Right.
They're hard to help once a soul gets bitter. Amen. Bitterness and resentment are not worth your time. Did you hear me?
Right.
Don't let bitterness and resentment get in your heart. It's not worth you wasting your time over.
Right.
Woo, glory to God. You might as well put your seatbelt on. I'm going to preach to you tonight. Glory to God. Amen. You know, you can get bitter and wake up every day of your life sitting thinking about how that somebody hurt you, how that somebody did you wrong, and you can sit and let that wear your mind out, and that other person, it ain't bothering them one bit, and they don't even have a clue you're so bitter. You'll wear yourself out being bitter at somebody or someone or something.
Man.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Oh, bless you,
I've seen people go through life still blaming their parents for their failures. Amen. And I realize that some people get a hard start at life, and some people grow up poor, and some people grow up rather wealthy. Some people grow up rich. There's all kinds of different lifestyles that we've all come from. Some of us came from two-parent homes. Some of us came from one-parent homes, and children sometimes start off on the wrong foot because they didn't have a dad in the picture, or they didn't have a mom in the picture, and they fight bitterness for years. Amen. I don't know exactly why I'm preaching this tonight, but I know this. I feel like the Lord did it on my heart. Amen. And I just feel like telling somebody, you don't need to waste time and ruin your life thinking about that thing you can't do nothing about.
Right?
Glory to God. How many former, amen, achievers have gone down because of bitterness? Amen. Oh, yes, I tell you today, bitterness has never healed a broken heart. Oh, no.
Amen.
It's never conquered an empire. It's never built a great church. It's never inspired a rebellious child. Bitterness has never brought back yesterday. It's never cemented a healthy relationship. Bitterness is a killer, and it'll kill your spirit. It ruins everyone and everything that it touches. Amen. Being in the medical field for a good number of years, I can even tell you tonight that bitterness, it often causes actual physical problems, such as nervous conditions, heart disease, ulcers down in your stomach, and mental problems such as phobias. Amen. Have their seeds in bitterness. Sleepless nights, wasted days, hours of anxiety, all stripping years off of your life. What a price to pay. Amen. For the poison spirit of bitter waters. Amen. There's nothing positive to be said about bitterness. I come to tell us tonight. Amen. I told you before I ever start preaching, it's a little bit different message for me tonight. But I felt like the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart to preach to a group of people tonight. Don't let bitterness take you down. Don't let bitterness get in your heart and spend the rest of your life, losing the joy of the Lord over something you can't do nothing about.
Amen.
And even while the poison snuffs out life, its victims attempt, amen, oh yes, to keep on sanctioning work. They say such things as, you don't know how deep I've been hurt.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. I said, I'm going to preach to you here just a moment.
Bless
amen.
You, Lord.
Just because you've been hurt, that gives you the right to sit around and be bitter and hate somebody the rest of your life.
No. Come on, brother. Bless him, Lord.
Glory to God. You don't know how deep I've been hurt. You may not know how deep I've been hurt.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Oh, amen. I have reason, somebody might say, for feeling the way I do. I've got a reason to have this bitterness. We make excuses of why we can be bitter. I have yet to read of any person who achieved any great merit. I've yet to read of any great missionary that did any great thing that had bitterness in his heart. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. A good known preacher that I read of, amen, had gone through adversity such as few men has ever known. This man had come out of being such being treated in such a bad way that another preacher asked him, said, Pastor, sir, I've got a question. Amen. How did you survive such an ordeal? The attacks had been vicious. And he said, I know that you've been hurt so bad. And he held out his palms. I love this. This old seasoned veteran pastor held out his hands. Amen. For inspection. And he said, sir, amen, young preacher, look at my hands. Do you see any scars there? Amen. Do you see any scars in my hands? What he was saying is, they nailed Jesus to the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, amen, loved the very ones that nailed him to the cross. And I come to tell somebody tonight, love wins, amen. Love wins. Lord, help us, oh God, not to get bitter, amen. Many I considered good friends down through the years. Suddenly, amen, forget who you are. Hallelujah. I was telling Brother Georgia that I had some good memories of some old friends that I grew up with. Yes, time separates people. Distance separates people. Amen. But also the gospel separates people. Amen. I grew up, Brother Georgia, and I'm preaching the gospel now, Brother Tommy. I live a holy life, and I try not to do things of the world. I've separated myself from that. And some of them old buddies that I graduated with, they called through the year, Jason, let's run here, let's run there. Hey, and I said, oh no, I can't do that. Amen. I can't, let's go down to such and such party, so and so. They know better than ask me that. And I say, no, I'm not going that way. And you know what they do? Friends will drop you in a heartbeat. Or so-called friends. I believe the real friends, kind of like marriage, they stick together. Amen. For rich or for poor. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm preaching somebody here tonight. Thank God. I believe I got some good friends right here in this house tonight. And I come to tell somebody, if a real friend is really your friend, they'll be there in the midnight hour. Amen. They'll be there when your heart is sick. They'll be there when you're in the hospital and can't lift your head up off the pillow. That's a real friend. But a real friend that'll chop you and run off for the next hot thing. They wasn't a friend. Don't get bitter at something like that. Don't get bitter at somebody that's trapped you and run and spend the rest of your life being bitter. Amen. I think I can call a name. It seemed like it was Brother Dave Miller. I can't remember exactly. Was telling about a lady they had in their church. A young woman. And time had got away. She had never married late teens, 18, 19, 20. 20s went by, 30s went by. I forget, she was pretty up in age. And she had never married. And she started getting bitter. She started fighting feelings down in her heart. The devil told her she's going to be an old maid. Amen. And she started fighting bitterness in her heart. She started fighting resentment in her heart. Maybe if I'd have did this or did that, I'd have found somebody by now. Amen. The Holy Ghost spoke to her one night in the service and said, I'll be your companion. I'll be your companion. Hey, I come to tell us tonight, he's the greatest companion you'll ever have. He won't walk out the door. He won't leave you stranded. And I come to tell somebody tonight,
Don't waste your years. Amen. Let life pass you by. Always fretting and getting bitter over what didn't happen, over what you wish might have happened. Don't let it get you bitter. Don't let it rip your life right out of your hands. Hey, I come to tell us, God don't want us to be bitter. Amen.
Hear you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, God.
Thank you.
There was a amen. Thank God we can't afford to get bitter.
Right.
God has called us into His work. He ain't going to desert us. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
He won't desert us. Amen. Because that going through tough times, amen, God's going to be there. Aren't you glad of that?
Yes.
Amen.
I read, and I've preached along these lines in the past, but I come back across this, and this spoke my heart this evening. But I read of old Paul, Brother Tommy, down in that Mamertine prison. Any studier that teaches or preaches have come across, amen, these great writings of history talk about Paul, Brother George. They put him down in that Mamertine prison. Yeah. Hallelujah. Listen to some of this. Amen. That old dungeon in Rome. The old apostle spent the last days of his life in that place. It was a death row cell. Paul was awaiting death by beheading. Amen. I wish I could adequately describe that hellhole. No sunlight, no windows during Paul's incarceration. Straw covered the floor. Amen. And every day, he thank God. Amen. Every day his head, the trap door would be opened and some kind of a swill lowered to him for daily nourishment. They just throwed him some old rubbish down. The old stone bench and post to which he was chained still remain unto this day. Tourists can go over there and look in that hole where they kept old Paul. You can see the place where the candle would have burned. The only light that he had. Thank God that you would not put an animal in that place and keep it in there. But here was Paul, the greatest missionary evangelist of all time. Here he could write Philippians 4:4. Amen. From that Mamertine prison, he wrote these words: rejoice in the Lord. God, always. And again, I say rejoice. If that had been me in that hole, Brother Chuck, I'd have been writing, oh, Michelle, is there any way you can get some of the boys together and bust me out of here? Is there any way you can find a friend and dig me out of this hole? But old Paul was down there. He is on death row. In just a few days, they're going to cut his head off. And they said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I don't have many days left. They've got me in this old hole. I can't see the sun. Some say he was in there for weeks, possibly a couple months. He was down in that hole waiting to die. Hadn't seen the bright, shiny light of the sun in a long time. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. I'm not going to get bitter. They might never put my body down in this hole, but they can't touch my soul. They can't touch my spirit. My body might be in here, but great God, I'm going to keep on writing the word of God. They might bind me up and throw me in this Mamertine prison, but I'm going to keep on ministering. They might bind me, but they can't bind my mind. Did you hear me tonight? Hey, my mind's on heaven. They come too late to try to steal my victory. They come too late to try to steal my spirit. And I come to tell somebody, maybe you're finding it right now. Maybe you're going to find it in the near future. But I felt the Holy Ghost back there in that little study for me to tell somebody, don't let the devil steal your mind. Don't let the devil steal your spirit. Hey, don't get bitter. Yes, God.
Thank you.
Rejoice in a dungeon. Yes. Rejoice when Demas
had forsaken him?
Yes.
Rejoice when Alexander the coppersmith, a former friend of his, had lied about him to Nero? Yes. Rejoice when you're laying on a bed of straw? Yes. Amen. Rejoice when hearing rats scurrying around, eating the breadcrumbs that you dropped? Yes. Rejoice when your body has sores that bleed and are festered up? Yes. Paul didn't care about this old body. Glory to God. You know why? Hey, I said, you know why? Amen. Rejoice when you haven't seen the sun. Oh, yes. Rejoice when your world has seemingly turned upside down. Yes. I got to come to ask you a question tonight. How could Paul say these words? Why, it was deep down in that Mamertine prison. Amen. I'll tell you how he could say them. For he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, great God, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Lock me up, Nero. Put me down in this old dark hole. But this damn a few days, I'm going to be running on streets of gold. I come to tell us, don't let him lock you up. Don't let the enemy lock your mind up. Hold on. Just a few days, not very much further. I'm going to be in heaven. I ain't going to be in a dark hole. I'm going to be shouting in heaven. That's how Paul made it. And that's how you're going to make it. Don't let the devil get a hold of your mind.
If he gets your mind, he's got you. Listen to me. Amen. I know what the Lord gave me. When he gets your mind, he had Paul's body. But he never had his mind. Woo! He is just as free as he could be. I said Paul was just as free as he could be. Amen.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes, Lord.
My. What a man, Brother Earl. What a commitment. Paul simply was otherworldly. Hallelujah. He was in this world, but he wasn't of it. And that's why we get bitter. Because we're in this world and we start attaching to this world.
That's
him. Bless
him, Lord. I hate to use such a vulgar, or not vulgar, such an example, but I've seen tumors working in a hospital, Brother Chris. A cancer tumor is a terrible thing to see. It gets tentacles on it. You got a tumor somewhere close to your liver or somewhere close to your lung? I've seen that thing gets little tentacles like a spider, and that begins to grow and attach. Sometimes I wonder if we ain't like that. We get tentacles, man. We grab hold of things because we want what this world has. Paul was not that way. Paul, you listen to me. I know he ain't sat in all this house. I'm preaching. I feel it right here. Amen. Paul did not attach himself to the things of this world. And I come to tell you, that's why you get up so upset when things of this world doesn't go as planned, and you get bitter at life because you still got attachments. Paul never had no attachments. Paul had his eyes set on heaven. Paul was preaching for the kingdom. Paul was working for God, and he never got attached to this old world.
Amen.
Why did men jump out of multi-story buildings in New York City, 29 stock market crash, because they lost everything they had?
That's it.
But George, I've never lost everything I had, and I don't ever want to, so I don't want you to think that. I hope I never have to go through that. But there's been a lot of people, Brother Anthony, file bankruptcy and lose everything they've got and climb back up out of the rubble.
Yes, sir.
Woo! God can help you do that.
Amen.
But he can't when you jump out of the building to kill yourself. Because when you think you lose this world, you've lost it all. You ain't lost nothing. You just lost a few years, amen, of worldly possessions. Amen. And when you get attached to this world, it'll make you bitter when you lose this world. Come on. That the only way to live above that is to be like Paul. And don't get your eyes set on this world. Yes, he was hurt. Demas, I wish you never left us. Alexander the coppersmith, I wish you'd still be my buddy. Hey, but great God,
Thomas don't go, I've got to go anyway. If Alexander don't go, I've got to go anyway. And Paul had his eyes set on heaven.
Yes.
Woo! Well, Tommy, can you help me real quick?
Have your way, Lord.
Romans 8:35. I'll need about four verses. Let's do one at a time. Let's start at 35. Romans 8 and verse number 35. Hallelujah. Give me one.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?
Listen to this. Who's going to be able to separate you from God? Shall tribulation?
Or distress?
Or distress?
Or persecution?
Or persecution?
Or famine?
Or famine? What's all this? Is things of this old world? Persecution, distress, famine, things? Is that what's going to separate you from Christ? Go ahead.
Or nakedness?
Nakedness? What if you lose everything you got? Is that going to rip you out of God's hand? Read on.
Or peril.
Woo! Or peril.
Or sword.
Or sword.
As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long.
Woo!
We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
All right. He said, nay, I can lose every bit of this, and I'm still more than a conqueror. Amen. Amen. Take my money, but give me Jesus.
Woo!
Take my job, but give me Jesus.
Yeah.
Take my home, but give me Jesus.
Yeah.
Gain all these things, I'm still more than a conqueror. Amen. Through him that loved us. All right, let's get some more.
For I am persuaded.
Listen to this. Paul had his mind made up. I am persuaded.
That neither death nor life.
Death nor life. Kill me, devil. I'm going to live anyway.
Let me
live. I'm going to live. He said to die. Amen. Thank God. Yeah. To live is for Christ and to die is gain.
Yeah.
What can you do with a man like that? If God lets me live, I'm going to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. And if these old Nero and these old hateful guys, they kill me, I'm going to shout in heaven. What can you do with a man that's got a made up mind like that?
Yeah.
Hey, the devil couldn't do nothing with him.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, he got the demons. He got Demas's mind. He got to Alexander. He got to his mind. But hey, you can't get to Paul, son. He's got his mind made up. Hey, he said, I'm persuaded. Life or death, I'm going to serve God. All right.
Yes, Lord. Nor angels.
Nor angels.
Nor principalities. Nor powers. Nor things present. Nor things to come.
Woo.
Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Here's a shout part. Listen to this. None of these things will be able to separate me from the love of God,
which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I didn't think I was going to have to preach after that line, Brother Tommy. None of these things will be able to separate me from the love of God. Thank God. You know why? Because Paul was otherworldly. He had his mind on heaven and not on earth. I said he had his mind on heaven and not on earth. I come to tell you tonight, if you're going to make it through this world, get your mind off this earth. Get your mind off of this place and get it on heaven. Amen. It wasn't the devil wasn't able to separate Paul from the love of God because he had his mind made up. Amen. He was going to serve the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo! I love Romans 8, these verses. Read them again tonight. Read them again tomorrow.
Yes.
You fighting bitterness? Read them again. You're fighting resentment? Read them again. They're contagious. They make my spiritual adrenaline flow. Amen. Isn't any wonder that Paul shook Europe with the gospel? Do you think he would have impacted Philippi or Corinth or Ephesus by going in and throwing a pity party? Look at what they did to me in the last town. They beat me black and blue. They left me for dead. You think he'd have got anywhere like that? Hey, no.
But he said, amen, to the Galatians, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. What he say? I've been branded. They beat me. They whipped me. I've been shipwrecked, thrown in the sea. Not today. I've been branded. I got my mind made up. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to get bitter at what the last town did to me. I'm marching on. I said, I'm marching on. Heaven's my home. I'm not stopping until I make it home.
Yes, Lord.
You think Paul would have got anywhere by complaining to the council in Jerusalem that never did understand him, really? You think he'd have got anywhere by groaning because John Mark left him?
Woo! Yeah.
Hey, do you think he'd have got anywhere griping about Peter's popularity and acceptance in Judea? Come on now. Amen. Oh, no. No, sir, not Paul. He had no time for nonsense. He had no bitterness for this man. When he made mistakes, he took the blame. When somebody hurt him, he shrugged it off. When those who helped him turned against him, he never took it personally. Hey, sometimes we in the ministry, we take it personal when we're hurt. Heck on. And I feel like, amen, the Lord has took me to another level. Amen, in that place right there. Oh, God, yes, I hurt. But come on, how much more does he hurt? It's not a rebuke against me. It's a rebuke against God. Hey, it's not a hurt necessarily to old Jason. It's a hurt to Jesus Christ. Oh, God, help me, Lord, to love me like you loved him. They nailed him on the cross. Hey, amen, they accused him of guilt when he was innocent. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I come to tell us tonight, love men, love women. When they smite you in the face, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Preaching to you tonight. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just a theory, it is life.
Yes, it is.
It's the most practical thing in the whole world. The Pythagorean theory fails when it comes to the gospel.
Right.
Woo! All the algebraic expressions, amen, fail when it comes to Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God. You can choose to live bitter in despair if you want to, or you can choose to throw that cruise of salt into the waters and make the bitter sweet again. Hallelujah. How can I do that, Brother Jason? You can come up here tonight in an altar of prayer, or you can stay back there in your seat and pooch up them lips and say, you don't understand how I feel. You don't understand how I've been hurt. Or you can get in this altar tonight and say, oh God, throw the salt in the water. Throw the salt in the water. And God said, I can make bitter water sweet again. Hey God, hey God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. God wants to sweeten a bitter heart tonight. I said, God, I ain't going to get a lot of participants tonight when I get this altar call. And I say, anybody bitter getting this altar, everybody's going to be looking back. Not me, pal. Amen. I ain't bitter. I come to tell you tonight. Hey, the Lord sent me to preach to somebody. Amen. God spoke to my heart and ruffled me up today to tell somebody, you don't have to be bitter.
Blessed be God.
You made me hurt. In fact, frontline Christians get hurt a lot. Brother Earl, you can't preach a gospel without getting hurt.
It's true.
Some of you other workers, Sunday school teachers, get hurt.
Yes.
People sing, get hurt. Musicians, people get hurt.
Right, right.
I wish I could be a guard dog and stay here, amen, and make everything go smooth there. Now, I can't be a guard dog.
That's right.
I wish I could keep people from making fun of my kids at the park.
Come on,
I can't do it.
That's right.
We was over one day, Brother Christie hurt me.
Yeah.
So old boys over making fun of my girls. Where y'all going, girls? Y'all going to church all dressed up in skirts? And they make fun of my girls. And it hurt me, but it really made them mad. They were ready to fight. Where y'all going, girls? Y'all going to church? I said, you should say, tell them, yes, let's have church right here. Amen. My dad's a preacher. Hold on. He got his Bible. He gave his Bible out of the man. We'll preach right here. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, we're going to have church in the park. Amen. Where are you going, girls? You going, yeah, I'm going to church. I love God. He's my everything. I wish I could protect him from getting hurt. But through that hurt is where the growth comes. Great God, you got to prune the branches, Brother George, of that apple tree. And if not, you'll have a bunch of apples the size of the tip of your. It's through that pruning process that God grows fruit. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I wish I could go around and make everything just right, but I can't do it.
That's right.
We got to learn to be good Christians.
Amen.
That's it.
We got to learn to love people. Amen. We got to learn to get along.
That's right.
I said this the other night. We got to learn to get unity amongst us in this church right here. If we're ever going to have a reviving spirit of God, we got to learn to let the spirit of God and spirit of unity come into the house.
Yes.
There's no agenda here tonight. In any given service, I don't have to preach. I want the Lord to get his way and have his way in the service of the Lord. There's no agenda. When we show up here on Thursday night at 7, Sunday morning at 10, or Sunday night at 6, the only agenda we have is sweet Holy Ghost sweep across this house. Amen. Oh, sweet Spirit of God, come by and meet us in the midst. And if he comes by, we can lead change. If he comes by, we can get rid of bitterness. If he comes by, bitter waters will become sweet. And I come to tell you tonight, God wants to make bitter waters sweet again. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know why some people, but some people like to be bitter.
Glory to God.
Amen. Joseph is called the most Christ-like man in all the Old Testament. His brothers abused him. They wanted him dead. They reached a compromise by throwing him in the pit, later selling him into slavery. He was taken to a foreign country and sold like a common piece of hardware. He spent nearly 12 years going down, down, down.
Right.
Plenty of time for hatred, isn't it? 12 years of your life, your brothers hate you. They throw you in a pit. You're sold into slavery. But Joseph would not accept bitterness. He kept a sweet spirit. He believed that God had a plan for his life.
Yeah.
He was patient, and his day finally came. He was given a position second only to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. He was given powers of life and death. And one day his brothers, who had abused him, stood before him for judgment.
Right.
Just like God showed him 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph never got bitter.
Right.
If Joseph had been bitter when his brothers came and bowed down before him, just like God showed him, he'd have killed his own brothers.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
He had the power to do it. But you know what he did, Brother Anthony? He loved his brothers.
Amen.
He sent them double corn back, Brother Earl. He loaded them sacks up, said, they paid for ever how much they paid for. He spoke to the servants. He said, give them double. Let them take it back. Woo! That's a man that never got bitter. That's a man that didn't get his eyes up. He knew his brothers mistreated him, but he also knew God had a deeper plan. And I come to tell us, and until you see the deeper plan that God has for your life, you're going to get bitter, and you're going to stay bitter, and you're going to wallow around in a mud hole. Hey! You got to see the bigger picture.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Woo.
Holy Jesus.
His brothers stood before him. They didn't even know who he was, but Joseph could have destroyed them, but he didn't. He loved them. Joseph was a brave man. He knew that a dungeon couldn't break a man, but a bitter spirit could. Did you hear me?
Amen.
A dungeon can't break a man. Bitter spirit break you.
Oh,
you'll never be of use in the kingdom. Somebody help me on this being and I'm done. You know? And I'm telling you the truth today. Bitterness is a festering sore inside the soul. Amen. And you can allow
Amen. This poison to run through your mental and your spiritual system. But today, amen, you can grow suddenly weary of carrying the impossible load. You can't carry bitterness.
That's right.
It'll destroy you.
Yes, God.
Amen. Families hate one another, Brother Anthony. Brothers and sisters get in squabbles and hate one another for the last 20, 30 years of their life because of bitterness.
Amen.
I refuse to be bitter. Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Don't be bitter. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. I've told you this before, and I mean every word of it. I've told my parents, I only got one sister, and I've seen firsthand how families rip apart when Mama and Papa die, and the whole family rips apart because everybody's fighting over a few little belongings. My parents told me one time, said Jason, and I'm saying this very reverently, and put it this way, I'm a money manager, and my sister's a money spender. She sent me a picture yesterday, Brother Roy. She ain't been working very long. She's a school teacher now for a man, West Virginia. She sent me a picture, Brother Roy, yesterday. And she had a truck and it started having a little nice truck. It was like an 18 Chevrolet LTZ nice truck. And Chevrolet and that transmission they thought was going out of Brother Chuck. So them Chevys have problems too. But anyway, she sent me a picture yesterday of it. She was afraid they don't think about the tariff, so she went and traded off. They found a 2020 Ford Expedition. She sent me that picture. She says, nice. This vehicle I've ever drove right there, Jason. But Chuck said it might give her a few years worth out of it. It might last 2 or 3 years. And she says, nice. This vehicle I ever drove. And my first response was, Michelle said, Jess is going to text back and say, you ain't a bit of fun. I said, how many miles a gallon that thing get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I text her. I said, how many miles a gallon that thing get? About 8? She said, no, it gets a little better than that. Whew. Amen. But anyway, my parents sent me in. They said, when something happens to us, you'll be the executor of the state. They said, we want you to take care of things. We believe you'll do what's right. I said, all right, I'll do that. I said, but I'll tell you this, Mom. Yeah, I ain't fighting over nothing. You better have it wrote down who you want to get what, because I ain't fighting over nothing.
Right.
I ain't going to go to hell with a bitter spirit because I'm fighting over some little something. Mama and Papa had one.
Amen.
Come on. I know families right now, they hate each other because they didn't get what they wanted Mom and Dad had.
That's right.
Is that worth going to hell over?
No.
Let me tell you something. I don't believe you can go to hell, heaven with bitterness, hating somebody in your heart. Jesus said, if you can't love your brother, I'm talking about literal brother. Flesh and blood. If you can't love them who you have seen, how can you love me who you have not seen?
Amen.
Stand with me in this house. I'm done preaching tonight.
Glory be to God. Bless
come to preach to us in this house. And I already know that I ain't going to get one person to sit out tonight.
Have your way, mighty God.
So how we're going to do this, we're going to do it as a whole. Let's all step out. And let's get these altars tonight and say, God, I'm not going to get bitter.
Glory,
God, I'm not going to stay bitter. I'm not going to let the devil steal my victory. I'm going to be like Joseph, and I'm going to stay sweet. Hallelujah. And I'm going to look and see that God has a bigger plan. God has a bigger picture. Come on, come on, come on. I come to tell us tonight, let's trust the Lord here on this Sunday night. Holy Ghost has spoke to us tonight through His Word. God has spoke to us tonight. Don't get bitter. It ain't worth it. Come on, how you keep from getting bitter? Had his mind on heaven. Amen. He didn't get too attached to this world. Hey, you ain't going to get over this. You ain't going to get past that until you get your mind off of that and get it on heaven. Yes, yes. Come on, pray and ask God to help you out. I believe God will help you. I believe God will help you. Get rid of that hatred, resentment, bitter heart. Amen.
Come on, come on, come on. Lord, I said, God.
There's a man who can't walk on water. On the raging sea. He can't bind up the broken hearted and set the captives free.
Come on, get your help tonight. Come on, God, help.
He can heal you.
Come on, come on, come on.
He can heal you. Unlike you never. Savior, what a master, He has made me whole. What a Savior.
Yeah.
Thank you.